Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hi, this is Skip Bayless, and thank you for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I just posted a personal story on my Facebook page. If you want to know what I'm really all about, what makes me tick, what made me, you should read what I wrote about my upbringing. You should read about how I succeeded in spite of a mean-spirited drunk of a father and a mother who was too interested in herself to ever be much interested in me. You should read about my athletic achievements and my chokes. You'll find my story on my Facebook page. And now, let's get the show started.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Welcome to Undisputed. We are live from Los Angeles. I'm Jenny Taft here with Skip Bayless, Shannon Sharp. Good morning, guys.
Hey, Ebenezer Bayless.
Hi, Jenny. How are you?
Ebenezer Bayless.
Allow me to wish the many, many Cowboy fans watching right now a very Jerry Christmas. Mm. And allow me to ask my friend across the table, Shannon Sharp, how about them Dallas Cowboys? How about that NFC East? How about that Diet Mountain Dew? Wait, hold on. I need a drink.
Oh, you got a drink.
It's going to blow up.
Yeah,
it's going to blow up. Hold on.
You see, Jenny, he is feeling it today, Shannon. Where was that skip last week?
It's the breakfast of champions.
Where was that skip
the
last week?
The nectar of the gods.
Where was that skip last week?
He's here this week. Okay. Today, all that matters is now, Jenny. How are you? How are you, Shannon? And how are all you? Because I'm really good today.
Okay. Thank you. This is going to be hard to top.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas, Jenny.
Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas, I'm happy you're happy. The Cowboys got the win.
We got a lot to get to on today's show.
Well, let's Skip kind of breath for just a second. I'm also curious if Skip is still on the Tom Brady bandwagon. Are we going to celebrate there? And then, Shannon, are you still on the Patrick Mahomes
bandwagon?
But we will start with the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. They clinched the NFC East yesterday with a win at home against the Bucs. The story of the game was the Dallas defense. Jalen Smith returned a fumble for a touchdown in the first quarter, and Randy Gregory recovered a fumble in the third quarter to set up another Dallas touchdown. The Cowboys' offense wasn't great, but Dak threw a touchdown pass and ran for another. He's headed to the playoffs for the second time in 3 years. Let's take a listen to Dak after the win.
We knew it all along. You're probably the only ones in this room that counted us out. At 1-2, at 3-3, at 3-5, we knew exactly what we had. We knew the team that we had. And we still know that. And as I said before, there's a lot of work to be done. And we're happy for tonight. We're going to celebrate it the right way, but then get right back to work.
Okay, Shannon, how impressive were the Cowboys yesterday?
Yes, they weren't very impressive, Skip Bayless. You know they weren't very impressive. So stop. My turn? No, it's not your turn. Mm-mm. Your name ain't Shannon.
You asked me a question.
Well, I don't answer. Yeah. Look, they were not very impressive. Look, you have to be excited you won the game. You have to also be excited that you clinched the division. So now you get to go into week 17. Do we rest Zeke? Zeke has 381
yes,
touches.
We rest.
Do you rest Tyron Smith or Zach Martin?
Yes,
you
we do.
You get the opportunity, Skip, to give some guys some rest maybe that you probably wouldn't had you not won this game. So you have to be pleased with that.
Thank
Skip,
you.
Skip, offensively, you can't be pleased with the way you perform because you had two drives that you were able to sustain. You got a touchdown on the opening drive. Mm-hmm. But after that, Skip, you really didn't do a whole lot. Scooping score by Jalen Smith, a recovery at the two-yard mm-hmm. line by Randy Gregory.
Yep.
Outside of that, you also got another field goal in which you drove the football.
Okay.
So you can't be pleased with what you mm-hmm. saw offensively. And unfortunately, your defense was unbelievable. They've mm-hmm. been very good all year long. But the way this thing works, you don't get to take one phase of your team to the playoffs. You don't get to say, defense, we're going. Offense, special teams, you stay at home. You have to go as a team. And right now, Skip, your offense isn't playing very well, considering mm-hmm. Tampa isn't very good defensively. They're the 22nd, 27th passing attack. Mm-hmm. And Dak threw for 161 yards. Mm-hmm. Skip. Mm. 161 with a touchdown. Mm. Oh, he did have, you know, 20 completions, 25 attempts.
Interesting.
Dinking and dacking again.
Did he?
Dinking and dacking ain't nothing and happening.
Mm. What was his QBR yesterday? I was just curious. Did your researcher look it up? I don't know. I'm just asking a question. It was 87, which was really high for Dak this year. Go ahead.
Considering mm-hmm. that's the 27th mm-hmm. pass defense mm. and your quarterback only threw for 161 mm. yards. Now, granted, they can't rush the passer. They don't generate a whole lot of pressure on the quarterback, and that's all you can muster. And when you didn't have Zeke didn't have a ton of carries. He only had 18 carries, 85 yards. Mm-hmm. So what was the reason the passing game wasn't more effective? Mm. That's what I need to know. Why wasn't it more effective? That's Skip, and again, this is the second fewest yards you've had in the game since opening day against Carolina. 232. You have, proud of that, Skip?
Is it my turn? No. I can answer that.
The Dallas Cowboys really, Skip, had, as I mentioned earlier, two real scoring drives. Opening drive. They got a touchdown. Mm. They had 16 first downs, Jenny. Mm. They got six of those on the first drive. Mm. So after the first drive, they got 10 total first downs the rest of the game.
Tell me when it's my
turn. It's not your turn, Skip Bayless. Dallas offense benefited from their defense playing unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Jalen Smith has been unbelievable. Mm-hmm. They put pressure. They harassed Jameis the entire game. He got some yards. I mean, you go look at his numbers. He's like, man, Jameis played good. Mm-hmm. Not when they needed him to play good when the game was close. Mm. When they got up by 14 and Cowboys were playing off, they were going to concede a lot of catches and a lot of throws. But other than that, I don't think that he put them in harm's way one bit. So you're excited you won the ball game. Dallas, you're excited you won the ball game. You won the division. But going into the playoffs with this offense playing like this, nah, bro, you can't be overly excited.
So, Jenny, once again, I got to get a new television because I saw a very different game than Mr. Sharp saw, but he's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I am not, so I'm going to have to defer to him.
Okay, do that.
But I'm going to have to actually take exception to much of what he said. I don't know why, but it's just me. I've had too much dew this morning because I am swimming in Diet Mountain Dew. In fact, I was thinking last night, maybe I should buy a place on LeBron's block over in Brentwood and I can have a swimming pool full of Diet Dew.
You got
Olympic-sized pool, and I could be LeBron's neighbor thanks to you.
You got a pool. You got a pool in your neighborhood.
I do not. In my complex.
Yes, you do.
So I'm going to restate what I've been telling you all year very long.
What?
This is the weirdest and most frustrating Dallas Cowboy team or any team that I ever have ever attempted to root for a whole season. It has worn me out, and I will be the first to admit to you, it wore me out yesterday because it will do some great things, some, dare I say, Super Bowl here we come things, and then it will do some scary bad things, dare I say, first round playoff exit things, all in the same game. And yet, this Dallas Cowboy team just won 6 out of 7 games to win the NFC East. You said they would not win. And they won me 6 more cases of Diet Mountain Dew. And I will be forever grateful to this team for winning me now a grand total of 17 cases of Diet Mountain Dew. Thank you very much.
You get it back in the playoffs.
Yeah, we'll see about that. That's a lot of dew to get back. And I'm not going to just give it right back to you on one game. But I'll be the first to admit, this team won 6 games of the last 7. Guess what the points were? They won by 7 at Philadelphia. They won by 3 at Atlanta. They won by 8 at home on Thanksgiving against Washington. By 3, as we know, against New Orleans. Against Philly at home by 6. And then yesterday by 7 over lowly Tampa Bay. So that's not all that impressive, is it? Right?
No.
Okay. By comparison, New Orleans just clinched home field throughout the playoffs. They are plus 170 points for the year, which leads the NFL, plus 170. That's how much they've outscored their opponents. Dallas has outscored its opponents this year 14 by plus 14 points. And that includes a bizarrely inexplicable home win over Jacksonville that was 40-7 Dallas. That includes that to get them to plus 14.
So without that game, they're negative. They've been outscored.
That is correct. So you just made a strong case that their glass is half empty. I see their glass as two-thirds full because I'm going to say it again. I love my team. I love my quarterback. I love my running back. And I like my defense, though at times yesterday I did not like them. And you said they were amazing yesterday, and I thought just the opposite. They were mostly horrifying to me yesterday because they let Jameis Winston pull off 7 drives that averaged 10 plays per drive. Think about that. In 10 plays, he averaged, I mean, 7 drives, he averaged 10 plays a drive, and that included drives of 17 and 14 plays against a defense that is now 26th in the NFL and allowing third down conversions. So you say, what about the offense? Tampa Bay ran 75 plays to Dallas's 50. Tampa had it 35 minutes to Dallas's 25 minutes. That's outrageously wrong for a team that just 2 games ago went into the Indy game leading the NFL in time of possession on offense.
Well, Skip, that's skewed because Jalen Smith got a scoop and score, okay. So Dallas offense never touched the field.
But I'm just saying, were they able to stop Jameis consistently? They were not.
No,
he drove it, and he drove it, and he drove
it. Did he get points?
He got 20 points. And this defense is still 4th in the league in points allowed. So I will hang my helmet on that one. I'll go into the playoff game hoping that they rise and shine the way they did against Drew Brees, because the last 2 weeks, I haven't been that impressed. Let's do 3 weeks. I'll go back 3 weeks because I wasn't impressed in the 4th quarter against Carson Wentz. And then I definitely wasn't impressed 23-0 at Andrew Luck. And then yesterday, Jameis just drove it and drove it and drove it, and he got stopped short, obviously, on the one scramble.
But guess what, Skip? Guess who didn't drive it against a poor defense?
Thank you for bringing that up.
Dak Prescott.
By the way, thank you also for mentioning Jalen Smith, who should have been a Pro Bowler even over Van Der Esch. That was a spectacular burst. They should try him at running back. Some of his brother plays running back.
No.
Hey, was that not a 4.4 40 that he ran up the sideline?
He can run.
Can he not fly?
But here's the thing, though, Skip, again, remember now, if you put somebody on the Pro Bowl, you got to take somebody off.
Yeah,
are you taking Bobby Wagner or Luke Kuechly off the Pro Bowl?
I don't know. I don't even know how to do it. He played Pro Bowl caliber football to me this whole year.
Yes, he did.
He was the driving force of that defense the whole year long. And I love Van Der Esch led them in tackles. Yes. And he had a big game yesterday. He had 15 more tackles yesterday to Jalen Smith's 10. But Jalen Smith made the plays at the moment.
Yes.
Just electrifying.
It just seems
to me
that Jalen Smith make more impact plays. He's in the backfield.
Right.
He's playing downfield.
Right.
He's getting those high collision plays that the ball's coming out.
No disrespect to the tackling Dutchman or the wolf hunter, as he's called. Ow, ow, ow. And he was doing some of that
yesterday. I want to know what they're going to do with Sean Lee. Yeah. They don't even miss Sean.
You know what? It was the first time I tweeted this right before the game. I was actually very happy that he couldn't go yesterday because he's become a jinx. He tried to go in Indy, and what happened, right?
Oh, so you blame that on Sean Lee.
I flipped it completely around. They can't win without him. Now they can't win with him.
The other way.
Right?
You blaming Sean?
Well,
Lee?
They found a new way, and it's a new day in Dallas. And I'm sorry, but again, I wasn't sure yesterday if his hamstring was balky or if Jerry finally said, maybe we ever just sit him down, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I do not love the fact that on offense, the new connection, the Dak to Amari connection, it has gone awry. It has disappeared because at Indy, he caught 4 balls for 36 yards, and yesterday he caught 4 balls for 20 yards on only 5 targets. So clearly, defenses are saying, you can't have him. You can have Cole Beasley all you want. You can throw it to Michael Gallup all you want, but you can't have Amari. And it scares me because I agreed with the analysis yesterday from Troy Aikman that, hey, It doesn't matter if he's doubled. You just throw it to him because he's Amari Cooper. Right. And especially if you think you have single on him, you're going to force the ball. Even if the play isn't called to him, just throw
it
to
him. But here's the thing, though, Skip. Look, when you have a number one guy, you don't think they double Michael Thomas?
Oh, come on.
Julio, all these top receivers. Look at Antonio Brown. Half the game yesterday he was doubled, and he still went got 14.
If I may go to the highest, you don't think Jerry Rice was doubled every play of his career?
Yes.
Like every play.
That's what sets, that's what sets the great ones apart.
Okay, so now back to my quarterback. All I know is Dak Prescott keeps making crucial plays. You probably think they're little plays. I think they're little, huge plays. And he makes them every game that they win. When they got goose egg 23-0, he couldn't make the play to get them in the end zone, even though he drove it in the first half, as you know, 10 plays, 14 plays, 15 plays. Yesterday was not that kind of game. But I'm going to go back to the first drive yesterday after Tampa Bay had scored quickly to go up 3-0. It looked like they're going to drive it all the way home for 7-0. What happened on 3rd and 12 from the 34? Could we see this throw? This is a huge throw in the game. This is big time. This is Dak Prescott at his best. That's a rifle shot to Michael Gallup. Did it not hit him right? And again, it looks like it's probably cover two, but he's just double. He's got two defenders in his area code, right?
Yep.
And what a throw that is. And it got them, that's 3rd and 12 from your 34. And if you don't convert that, which I was dubious about them converting, all of a sudden Tampa's got it back with a chance to go in for 10-0, right?
Correct.
Which they probably would have. So now let's go down to, then what happened at the end of that drive? Dak, they finally called the read option and he kept it and scored. And that was a red zone touchdown, which I hadn't seen in forever. He took it in with his legs. What did I keep telling you? He has to run the football. He should have run it more than he did in this game, but that's hard to stop to me.
Because
he's a big man who's a really crafty ball handler, and he has nice acceleration for 240 pounds or whatever he is. So now let's go to the other red zone play. Was this not a nice fade throw to Michael Gallup? If we could go we're going down to later in the game. This made it 27-13. That's a huge throw in the game because I wasn't sure they could get in the end zone. Great idea, great throw, great execution, nice catch. Mm-hmm. That was huge in the game because that basically won the game with that throw.
Yes.
Now let me go to the last throw. This is a huge throw in the football game. They are in jail. They are backed up against their goal line. They got 3rd and 10 from the 2-yard line, and he finds little Cole Beasley for 13 yards. And I always say,
Give me up 27-13.
Hey, you don't think you got to eat clock there? You don't think Jameis is going to get back in the game? Because that's 6:34 left in the game.
Jameis had up until that point.
That just ate two more minutes of clock that were crucial in the end. Did it not get a little tight in the end?
But here's the thing.
Did they not onside?
They did.
Yes.
But let me ask you this. Jameis, you saw Jameis for 3.5 quarters, mm-hmm. and he had really done nothing. What made you convinced that if they'd got the ball with 6 minutes back, he was going to do something in that
He'd really done nothing?
No.
Are you kidding me? He threw for 336 yards.
See?
I mean, look, they just dominated the football. They had
it
the whole game.
Basically the entirety of the whole game.
Okay, but they look at the yardage in the game. They had 383 to 282.
But see, this is why you just can't look at stats and you need to watch the game. Because if you watch the game, if you ever think Dallas was in any jeopardy, playing the Bucs, you're sadly mistaken.
Boy, I saw a different game. Looking at it very upside down from you. I thought they were in jeopardy the whole game.
No, I didn't.
Okay, Jameis had the number one receiver in yards per catch in the league coming in Deshaun, who had some foot issue for a while, came back in. And he had the number two receiver in yards per catch in the league in Mike Evans. Did Mike Evans not do a lot of damage yesterday?
But it was late in the ball game,
okay.
Skip.
To me, that third down throw, when Dak Prescott really needs to pull off a throw and he steps into it, he makes his choice early and steps into the throw, he makes big clutch delivery throws where he throws it right on time and right on target. That I'm sorry. To me, that was thank you God play.
What are you gonna do about the interception?
Mm-hmm.
What about the throw behind Blake Jarwin when he had him wide open on the crossing route?
Okay. I just showed you the key plays he made to make sure they won that game 27-20. He made those key plays. Love my quarterback. I'll take my quarterback.
I get it. But let me ask you a question. What team that you could possibly place in the playoffs are the equivalent of the Bucs?
Well, obviously, no team except
except
Jameis can throw the heck out of it now.
So, can he throw the ball better?
And has he not been hot for the last four games?
Okay, how about
yes,
this?
He has.
Okay. Can he throw the ball as good as Russell Wilson or Jared Goff or Drew Brees? Because that's what you're going to face, Skip.
I'm glad you brought up Seattle. We saw Seattle put on a show last night against your MVP, Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. As I predicted they would, they won at home. And now they have to go on the road. And very likely they're going to go on the road to Dallas for the first game. If they beat Arizona this next Sunday, they're coming to Dallas.
Haven't they already beat you guys?
They beat us at Seattle. Oh. And, Jenny, what did they call it at Michigan this year? The revenge tour? What was the basis? What was the foundation of winning 6 of 7? What was the foundation of winning 5 straight games for the Dallas Cowboys? Revenge, 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 revenge. And here they come again. This is perfect. This is the perfect opponent for Dallas.
But that
if
was
it's
last
Seattle.
Year, though.
Okay, what was last year?
The revenge tour. So you getting back at the team that beat
this
you
year,
last year.
This year, the 5 in a row that they won, those were all revenge games.
Oh. What so you're going to make this a revenge game.
Okay, it shapes up perfectly as a revenge game, because what happened 1 year ago on Christmas Eve? What happened at Jerry World? Russell Wilson beat
them. Breaks off, y'all.
And guess whose fault it was? It was the Dez drop game.
Oh, my goodness.
Do you remember that?
Skip.
It was the Dez drop game.
Don't do that.
Is Dez Bryant still a Dallas Cowboy?
Oh,
he is not a Dallas Cowboy.
The man rehabbing
so
the
all
Achilles
of a sudden,
you
have a chance to get even for what Russell did to you last year. It was 21-12.
And he did it again this
year. Remember, they had it first and goal at the 3 late in that game to cut the lead. And Dak tried to run for a yard. And then there was a hold that put him back on Jason Witten. Remember this? Then Dak got sacked, and they wind up with a field goal that Dan Bailey missed. Remember that? Yeah. It was a horrendous series. You can wipe the slate clean. You can get even for that. You can get even for the game that was 24-13 this year. Early, it was week 3 at Seattle.
Yeah.
And Zeke had a bad game that game. Remember? He dropped
Seattle's
the pass.
Better.
Huh?
Seattle's better.
I don't think they are.
You don't think they're a better team than week 3?
Oh, Seattle's better than week 3. I thought you meant they're better in Dallas. I don't think they're better in Dallas. I'll take my team at home. I like my team at home.
Yeah.
So this is a perfect matchup.
You liked them against Tennessee.
I did not.
You didn't like them against Tennessee? You picked them?
I mean, I picked them, but I didn't love the game.
Okay. Well, of course not.
There's no history between those two teams, right? There's no revenge factor, right?
You know what?
I got this. I like this. It shapes up perfectly. And then, to Jerry Jones' point after the game yesterday, this is just the kind of team that can play defense and run the football that can be very dangerous and catch fire in the playoffs.
Man, Jerry need to stop. Now, just last week, he pulled the alarm because he's concerned for his offense and defense because they scored no points. Now, 2 weeks, 3 weeks earlier, he said we're different cats after we beat New Orleans. Mm-hmm. So he rides the wave of whatever's happening. My team wins, we can win the Super Bowl. My team lose, we don't deserve to be in the playoffs. Jerry, come on, bro. And you fall right along to that trap.
Did I say I love my owner when I started off today? I did not. Did I say I love my head coach?
I didn't
say that. Are they winning in spite of those two?
No,
I could say they are. Yes, they are.
Give
and
Jerry credit.
I think
credit.
You should be starting to sweat even more because here comes Seattle, the perfect opponent at home for Dallas, which is why I'm rooting for Seattle to win that game. Don't blow that game to Arizona.
All I'm saying is this is what I'm saying, Skip Bayless. The Dallas Cowboys are like the Duke freshmen. Mm-hmm. They won and done. They won and done, bro.
Well, guess who was the star of the game at Seattle this year? Who made the 2 big interceptions, came out of nowhere to make both of them on Dak Prescott on tip balls?
Earl
Thomas.
Yeah.
He is no longer Seahawk. Am I right?
Yeah. No.
I think that's advantage Dallas because Earl wanted to get even with the team that did not work hard enough to trade
that.
For
Russell
him,
Wilson
right?
Playing at an MVP level.
Well, he is. You're going to make
Russell
the case.
Wilson playing like that. Wish you could play.
So, are you admitting that Russell Wilson outplayed your MVP, Patrick Mahomes,
don't do
last
that,
night?
Skip,
I think
don't
he
do
did.
That. Skip, why do you do that?
You know, all I'm doing is I really like this football team going into the playoffs because then it's do or die. It wasn't do or die at Indy. They had a 2-game lead, and they thought Philly would lose.
It wasn't do or die yesterday, but they won.
Well, it was. I think they thought that they didn't want to have to go to New York.
Oh, but you told me you wanted them. You
I did.
You picked Tampa to win the game.
I did.
Okay.
I did.
You said you wanted Dallas.
I also said I did it as a public service.
Okay.
I wanted some fear factor.
Yeah, okay. But you also said you wanted Dallas to go to New York with the have to win.
I would have liked that because it would have been a springboard into the playoffs. Now you have to go up there and do a half and half game. A Dak will probably play
rest
a half.
Guys,
a lot of
he
guys.
He didn't play the whole game.
Well, you could. I don't disagree with you. Maybe he and Amari and Cole and all of them, that maybe they need to play 7-on-7 the whole
he
game.
He had 8 turnovers his rookie year, 16 the next year. He got 14 right now. Mm. So a guy that you told me took very care of the football is starting to turn it over at an alarming rate, Skip.
How many times did he turn over yesterday?
One.
Huh.
One more than he should.
Huh. Interesting. I don't remember that.
You do remember it.
Yep. So.
Don't do that, Skip. Skip, why would you do that?
Hmm.
You're talking about you don't remember it.
I just don't remember.
Selective
the turnover.
Memory.
I thought he was really good yesterday.
You thought so?
Yep, I did. So did QBR. QBR really liked
it. Stop it, Skip Bayless, with that QBR.
87.
Because by that metric, Jameis Winston is the third or fourth best quarterback in football, and we know that not to be the case.
Well, I know over the last 5 weeks, he's been he still has the fifth best QBR.
Even if you go over the last 5 weeks, they're not in the playoffs, but unfortunately, the game is NFL season is 16 weeks. So, and he hadn't been very good. He's been benched twice for ineffective play.
Help me out. Who won the NFC East this year?
I want to remind
him. I don't know.
Oh, it was the Dallas Mountain Dews. It was the Dallas Dews.
It's not my turn to talk.
No,
so
they are locked in.
The Dallas Dews did it again.
It's not my turn to talk. Yeah. Are you asking me a question?
Yeah.
It's no question. Okay, let's move to the AFC, though. A tough loss for the Steelers. Oof. Are they done?
Yeah.
Is it Mike Tomlin's fault?
Yep.
We'll discuss what happened next.
No mercy.
The game of the day in the NFL yesterday was in New Orleans. The Saints beat the Steelers 31-28 to clinch home field throughout the playoffs. One of the key plays of the game came with about 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter. The Steelers had a 4-point lead and tried a fake punt from their own 42-yard line. Roosevelt Nix needed 5 yards, but he only got 4. The Saints got the ball back and scored the game-winning touchdown. So, Shannon, did you agree with the fake punt call?
I did not. And someone needed to tell Roosevelt Nix that he needed 5 yards instead of 4 because he was celebrating like he got the first down. I'm like,
it was a bad look.
It was a horrible look, Skip. Yeah. Skip, I don't agree with it. And let me tell you why I don't agree with it. Because I thought at that point in time, Pittsburgh defense was playing well.
They were.
Field goal, punt. The previous 3 possessions, that's what they had done to the New Orleans offense. So I felt that he breathed life back into the Saints when he didn't need to. If you thought that, make them drive the long way, you're still going to get the ball back and still go back down and maybe get the field goal to tie or the touchdown to win. But I don't agree with the call at that down the distance. I thought he was pulling his Kirby Smart, Skip. But why would you give Drew Brees in that offense the ball at midfield? Because you know what's going to happen.
Well, you didn't intend to, but.
Skip, 4th and 1, okay, maybe. 4th and 5 is a long way. But if you want to go with it, let me ask you a question, Skip. Do you trust Nix or do you trust Big Ben, Juju, and AB? If you felt that comfortable, you're going to go for it. I want the ball in Big Ben's hands, throwing to Antonio Brown or Juju. Mm-hmm. That's just me.
Okay, if you want to go. Let me jump in before you go to other points. I liked what Mike Tomlin did, even though in 2020 hindsight, because we saw that it did not work, it's easier to condemn it.
Yeah.
But I liked the message he was trying to send to his team. We are playing to win. We are going for broke in a place that almost nobody ever wins in, especially in big games, because obviously Brees and Peyton are 5-0 in playoff games in that building. They should be undefeated this year. They lost to Fitzmagic. But the point is, it's hard to win there, as you well know. And I didn't mind that he said he had a play he really liked. And Roosevelt Nix is their sort of backup fullback. He's not even the backup. They just don't use a fullback very often.
Right.
So he has carried the ball before, and he weighs 250 pounds. So he liked what he saw. And New Orleans made a better play.
Right.
New Orleans stopped it.
Right.
So I give you that, but I couldn't condemn it. Because I thought it was one of those, let's see if we can pull this off kind of plays. To your point, all that makes sense to me. It did not work, and yet they still hung in there, and we'll talk about this in a minute, but it still came down to a 4th and 2 play pretty soon after that.
Think about this, Skip. As great as New Orleans is in that building, at that point in time, the Steelers had the lead. And while you say he's trying to send a message to his team, we're going for it, he's also sending a message to his defense. I don't believe in you guys because I don't want to put you guys back on the field. So I want to try to keep my offense on the field. So there are 2 messages I believe that he's sending. I just believe as well as his defense had played up until that point, make Drew Brees go 70, 80 yards as opposed to 50 yards. Mm. I didn't agree with the call at that time. It wasn't like they were going up and down the field, Skip.
Maybe I'm defending it because I like Mike Tomlin and I want to see him keep his job. And I'm not totally convinced he is. I'm pretty convinced. But now they're dangling, probably going to miss the playoffs, right?
Yeah. They need help, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they need to win and then hope Baltimore loses. Yeah. Or they can win and then the Titans and the Colts end in the tie.
Yeah.
And then they get into the playoffs.
It's not like it's not like the Pittsburgh organization to fire a head coach because they just don't do that. Especially under these circumstances when they've been pretty good this year. Have they been a disappointment? Sure they have.
Well, considering they've only had three since 1969.
There you go. So would they fire him in the offseason? I guess I wouldn't be shocked if they did, but go ahead.
I would be shocked. Right. But, Skip, I mean, look, the Steelers, you had a three-game lead with six games to play. Mm-hmm. You can't lose to Denver. You can't lose to the Raiders when you have leads. You can't lose to Chargers when you got a 16-point lead at some point in the game. That can't happen. But this yesterday, Skip, I thought their defense had really played well. I thought they had done a great job. Drew Brees was slightly off a little bit. He missed some throws that he normally makes. But I just thought at that point in the game, Mike, your defense is playing well. Show them that you still have confidence in them. Punt the ball and say, hey, D, do what you've been doing the previous three possessions, and let's go on back to Pittsburgh with this win. I just thought he breathed life into the team.
If it had worked, would you criticize it?
Not for me, no, because I still don't like it. Skip, I'm criticizing because I thought they were playing well. Had they not been playing well, Skip, in a situation like what we see on that Monday night game between the Rams and the Kansas City, you can understand going for it, Skip, because nobody defense is stopping nobody.
True.
So if you get in a fourth down situation, your defense is really not going to stop them. Mm-hmm. I'm going for it. And you see the Rams do that an awful lot. They're going to try and steal a possession.
Yep.
But no, Skip, in this situation, I just thought they were playing well. They had the lead. It wasn't like they were down by seven. Mm-hmm. They were down by 10 points. They had the lead. So clearly, they had done something right up until that point.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't like the fact that I thought it breathed life back into the Saints.
Well, clearly it did because that happened.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So I'm going to look at this game in the big picture. I told you on Friday I was going to pick a bunch of upsets, so I picked Ravens at Chargers, check. And then I picked Seahawks over Chiefs last night in Seattle, check. And I picked Pittsburgh over New Orleans in New Orleans, not check. But I will say, I thought the Steelers played great yesterday.
Uh-huh.
I thought they would come in hot off beating New England, finally breaking through against the Patriots.
Uh-huh, they did.
And I thought Pittsburgh deserved to win that game. If you want to say the coach stole it from them, you can say that. But I thought it was a shame that it came all the way down to Juju, who had a very good game playing injured. I didn't even know if he was going to play or not. Right. But he actually caught a ball that put them in field goal position with 41 seconds left. And then he's trying to do a little too much, and he loses the football. Wasn't even stripped. Just lost the football. But it was a shame that it ended that way.
What is two more yards going to
do? It doesn't do anything, but he's still a young kid. Yes. We've had him on the show. Yes. And he's just fighting his tail off trying to get an extra yard.
That's what he knows.
They didn't really know. They didn't need at that point.
Correct.
So, now, after the aborted fourth down punt call, the fake punt call, let's go to what happens later in that series. It becomes fourth and two at the 26. And Drew Brees throws it to his guy, Michael Thomas, who had a very big game for the first time in a couple of games yesterday. And Joe Hayden was called for pass interference, and I thought it was ticky-tack at best. I couldn't see it. I didn't think he slingshotted himself by reaching around. I just thought he played it straight up and got a hand into
I think they called it before, Skip, because if you look, he snatches him down. He almost pulls him down. So I think that's what they call first.
Didn't call holding. They call pass interference.
That's what they should have called, because look what he does. He grabs him by his shoulder pads and he jerks him down.
No, I don't see a jerk down. I just saw him fighting across the top to get to the football. I didn't see him impede him. I didn't see a slingshot where he pulled from behind to throw himself. Yeah. I just didn't see that. And then if we can go to the other one that happened in the first quarter.
No, I don't agree with that one. I definitely don't
know
tomorrow.
See the one in the first quarter. The one in the first quarter is fourth down. This is fourth and one. So this is for all the – he's just throwing for all the marbles. And that's the most phantom. I immediately tweeted, that's the worst pass interference call I've seen all year.
Skip, that's the NBA call. You know how they get the rebound? They get the rebound. The guy, oh, he pushed him in the back. That's what Kamara did.
I mean, this is so bad. And remember, it's 3-0 Pittsburgh right now, and all of a sudden it's going to be 7-3 yeah. Saints, right? So those were two horrible calls. Come on.
Yeah.
Really? A game of this magnitude? You're going to give the home team 7 points, which did they not play in the end of the game? Yeah, that was a big 7 points you gave them. So in the end, I don't know that I've ever seen Ben play better than that. I don't know that I've ever seen Antonio Brown play better than that. Did they not make big play after play?
Man, they
against a defense that's been really hot lately? Because I know the Saints have struggled on offense, but they haven't struggled on defense through the stretch, right?
Well, this is the kind of connection that we're used to seeing from Big Ben and A.B. Now, he does have a bunch of touchdown catches this year, but the connection, and maybe it has to do with the emergence of Juju. Skip, I mean, Juju is coming on strong. I mean, he had 94, 95 catches going into the game. So, clearly, teams are making a conscious effort to take away AB, and Big Ben is like, I got no problem. Juju, do this. Mm-hmm. So, and yesterday, of the 33 completions being had, 25 of them went to those two guys. So, basically, they're saying, look, they had AB doubled a lot of the day.
I thought they had him doubled the whole day. It's like what we were saying about Amari. It was classic, and I know these two have gone back and forth at each other, Ben and AB, all year. When push came to shove, Ben just said, I'm looking for 84, and I'm going to throw it where I think he might get it in double coverage, and he kept getting it in double coverage.
Skip, I'm going to say something that might be very unpopular, but I believe watching Marcus Lattimore play, and I watched him a lot last year, and he was Defensive Rookie of the Year. Skip, he rested on his laurels. Mm. He let the press, and he let everybody tell him how great he was. He's not the same guy that he was last year. There's no way you played that well as a rookie.
Yep.
That you come back and look this bad because you're like, oh, man, whomever playing next to him. But he's as bad as the other guys. Mm-hmm. They have no problem throwing the ball. If you're that guy, teams should fear throwing the ball in your direction, and they don't. They have no problem throwing the ball at Marcus Lattimore. Marshawn Lattimore. Mm-hmm. He's not the same guy. And he should be better because you're Defensive Player of the Year, but I'm not seeing that same dog. I'm not seeing that same guy that I saw last year. Mm. They need to correct that. Mm. I'm telling you, Skip, you get into the playoffs, and Drew has a slightly off day because he was spectacular again. And that's the thing. 27-39, 326, touchdown. Man.
So are you saying that the New Orleans Saints – now invincible with home field all the way to the playoffs, are vincible? Are you saying they are vincible?
Yes, yes,
I'd love to hear that because
– not to y'all, though.
I could make a case that my Dallas Cowboys beat them 13-10. They could go right in there and they could march in on the Saints, right?
But here's the thing. Do you believe in that building, you're going to probably have to get to 27, 28 points. Do you believe your team can get to that number?
Yes, I do. Or my team can shorten the game like they did at Dallas. Yeah. They can just – they can play more 13-10-ish if they have to. Mm. I like my team in that matchup because they would have the blueprint and the confidence.
Unfortunately, you won't
hang
get
in. There. Well, how do you know we
won't?
Because
you're Duke freshman.
Huh?
One and done.
Yep.
We don't have to bring
so we'll beat Seattle first, and then I don't know how it would fall out.
You're not going to beat Seattle. Yeah. Huh? You beat Seattle, then you're going on the road to New Orleans.
Okay, would that be next? I'm not sure.
Yes.
But if it is, we got this.
You're going home.
We got this.
You're going home. Mm-hmm.
The Saints are 6-1 at home this season.
Yeah, I know.
They won the last six straight.
Cooking.
And Drew Brees and Sean Payton have never lost a playoff game together. 5-0 there.
Quite the record.
And so you believe Coach Clapp?
I don't, but I told you, we overcome him. We win in spite of. He gets to go along for a great ride thanks to my quarterback and my running back and my defense on occasion.
No. Right now, this is a defensive-based football team. This is a defensive-based football team.
Really?
Yes.
And they're 26th in the NFL in third downs allowed?
What are they in I don't care nothing about no first down. What are they in points allowed?
Fourth.
What do you score? Where are you in scoring?
All I know is we outscored Drew Brees 13-10 on a fateful Thursday night at Jerry World. Am I right? 13-10.
You're top
10. Drew Brees went 3-for-11 on third down against my team.
Like you asked me.
Yeah.
You feel good about this?
Yeah,
You're top five in time of possession.
I like
it. And you're 26th, 27th in scoring points.
I like it.
You feel good about that?
Yes, I do. No
mercy. I want to know how you feel about the Patriots. Because they are AFC East champs. yet again. They beat the Bills yesterday to win the division. For the 10th straight year, Tom Brady only threw for 126 yards, had two interceptions, but the win did move New England into the 2 seed, and all they need is a win over the Jets next week to get a first-round bye. But, Shannon, how far can Brady take the Patriots?
This Tom Brady, not very far.
This Tom.
Skip, there are they do better when they run the football. Mm-hmm. Now, the likelihood of them running the football like they ran it yesterday, and I guess they saw something that they liked because Buffalo was, what, the number one pass defense in all of football, number two pass defense, and they're like, okay, you're that good at the pass. Let's see how you hold up against the run. But, Skip, I don't care how much you love Tom. Skip, he does not look the same. He does not. You watch him. I mean, nine touchdowns in his last 8 games. He's under 55% for the third time this year in a game. He's lost the other two. He was 7 of 19, 37% when throwing to the wide receiver, the tight end. Think about it, Skip.
Okay.
So the other pass that he completed was to the running back. He only attempted two passes of 10 yards or more down the field. Both were incomplete. Skip, Tom Brady's not the same. He's not. So now...
Who's he throwing to? Help me out.
The same guys he was throwing to when he had all those touchdowns and no interceptions.
Really?
The same guys that he was throwing to when he outgunned Patrick Mahomes. The same guys when he outgunned Aaron Rodgers. Those are the guys he's throwing to.
Is Josh Gordon still, did he play yesterday?
He did
you
not.
Told me Josh Gordon had a PL on his back.
No, you told me that. And you, I didn't say it. You said it.
And you echoed it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just repeated it. Yeah, exactly. The Hall of Famer said it.
Skip, let's be real. Thomas doesn't look the same to you. You know that. I read a quote that Rodney Harrison. Now, I don't know if Rodney, he's a Patriot guy. Rodney played the bulk of his career in San Diego, and he was a heck of a safety, played a number of years against him. He says, I've never, ever seen Tom Brady look like this. Now, is he a hater? Does he have an axe to grind?
No.
Is he jealous? Skip, he's not the same Skip. He's not the same guy. He doesn't look the same. And so with that being said, this Tom Brady can't lead them. If Sonny Michel and Burkhead and James White and Courtney, and Patterson, they're going to run the ball like this here, sure. But Skip, I'm telling you, it's gradual. It wasn't, see, everybody wants to look at the last year that Peyton played. But there were some games down the stretch of the year before that we started to see this, but because his numbers were so good, he still threw for 39 touchdowns. We overlooked it. It wasn't until he literally stepped off the cliff. But see, Coach Belichick is the type of guy, see, Coach Belichick sees the check engine light comes on. Coach, he's going to take it to the I'm not going to say mechanic because people say mechanic is a derogatory term. Auto technician. But see, a lot of these Brady zealots, that's what you call them, Skip Bayless, they want the tires to fall off and the transmission to drop on the dirt before it's time to get a new car. Coach Belichick says, nah, the check engine light on. Let me take it to the auto technician to see what's going on. Skip Bayless. You say you got good eyes.
Wait, he wanted to take Tom Brady to the junkyard a year ago.
No, we were going to get off him and we get a good price.
Oh, I thought you just could.
If the transmission is on the dirt and I got 4 flats and the windows are bust out, people are not going to give it to me. Give me the money that I deserve for my car if it's running fine and just, you know, only got a couple of more, more years on it.
Tell me once, Mike.
It's your turn.
Okay, first of all, I would like to thank the Philadelphia Eagles for doing what they did the Houston Texans yesterday and catapulting Tom Brady's team back into the 2 seed in the AFC, which means, Shannon Sharp, as you well know, they're going to, if they beat the Jets this Sunday
at home,
they're going to have a week off and a home game and only one road game to get to the Super Bowl. And that could change because there could be a big upset because we know the AFC is wide open right now. Does Kansas City impress you? Did the Chargers impress you on Saturday night?
No.
So all of a sudden, is it possible that whoever winds up with the 1 seed, maybe it looks like it'll be Kansas City, could they be upset at home by somebody?
Absolutely.
Sure they could. By the Chargers who already beat them at home? Sure they could. And could that mean that Tom Brady would get to host the AFC Championship game yet again. It's possible. So I would like to congratulate the Patriots on catapulting back into the two seed. I would also like to, before I get to my thesis statement here, I would also like to congratulate Tom Brady on a staggering achievement. If we knock out the 1 year that he missed because of injury, which was 2008, he was hurt in the first quarter of the first game that year. Do you realize he has won the AFC East 15 straight years if we knock that one out?
Yes.
15 years in a row to win a division? Do you realize the NFC East hasn't had a repeat winner in 14 seasons? So that's how hard that is to do. 15 straight years he's won the East. It's not that good this year, but there's a number of other
years. It's never been good.
No, I think it's been good. Boy, when Rex was there.
They hadn't been good since the Colts. They reconfigured it.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, let's just congratulate. I know I'm the only one or one of the few in the media who will take time to pause and say congratulations, Tom Brady, for that.
If you combine division titles and Super Bowl titles, Tom Brady has appeared in 22 straight division or Super Bowl. Stop it, Skip!
Is anybody in football history from here on out, we'll never know, but is that a record that will never be broken? That's a record.
Probably so.
Probably so. Thank you very much.
It will never be broken.
So, what clearly happened yesterday was that Bill Belichick laid down the pregame law, and that team was shook up without Josh Gordon. That was a shocking development. And he said, you know what? Today we are going to go out and pound the rock on a defense that had allowed the second fewest yards in pro football, and to your point, had the top-ranked pass defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they go out and they run the ball 47 times, and they let Tom Brady throw it only 24 times. So
they shouldn't let him through that much, considering how he looked throwing it.
So, and to your point, would you believe that Tom Brady threw zero passes to any wide receiver except his slot receiver, Julian Edelman? Mm. Have you ever heard of that before? Mm. That shows you how the three guys from Dorchester would have been a big improvement over what he had yesterday.
You need to stop.
Because Julian Edelman is 32 years of age. Clearly, he's not what he used to be coming off his complete ACL rupture. Do you realize that's the only receiver he targeted? The only wide receiver he targeted was Julian Edelman. Did you see Chris Hogan get a target yesterday?
Yes.
Did you see Philip Dorsett get a target? They got zero.
Yep.
And that leads me to the Frankenstein monster who is
now
the tight
end. Don't do that, Skip.
He moves like Frankenstein. Me, Frankenstein. He's stiff.
Hurt.
He can't move.
Hurt.
He can't jump.
He's hurt.
And it was just pathetic what happened. Brady tried to throw him three balls yesterday, and he caught how many? How about zero?
He's hurt.
So there's nobody to throw it to, and I'm back to the classic Giselle comment after the second Eli Super Bowl. He can't throw it to himself, can he, Shannon Sharp? Right?
Skip,
I love that comment.
Can I ask you a question, Skip? This is what I don't understand.
Can't throw it to himself.
He can't throw it to himself. But help me understand this. I'm having a hard time understanding this.
Mm-hmm.
Julian Edelman at 32 is clearly not what he used to be.
Yep.
But Tom Brady at 41 is. Mm. So everybody else can age in the world except Tom Brady.
Mm. Well, clearly, we've seen them do this many times before on big Sunday night games at Indianapolis, I remember, where Belichick just laid down the law, we're going to run the football. Did Tom Brady protest? No, he's a team player.
How are you
going
to protest throwing two picks?
Mm.
Coach Belichick said I should have let him run it 60 times.
Thank you for bringing up those picks. Let's look at them, shall we? Let's look at pick number one to Rex Burkhead, who missed 8 games this year and has little to no rapport in the passing game with Tom Brady. So Brady throws it where he thinks Burkhead's going, and Burkhead goes the other way. He zigged when he should have zagged. He zagged out.
Hold on, Skip. Hold on.
And he throws it right to the safety who's like, me?
Rex Burkhead is, without me knowing the route, but it looks like to me they're running an angle route.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he has an option. Mm-hmm. He sees the guy inside. Mm-hmm. So I'm an option away from the guy inside.
I don't know. The guy was way back inside. He was 5 yards deep, and it looked like it was going to be a 5-yard completion, which is part of the run game they did yesterday to Rex Burkhead. And did Brady obviously throw it to a spot that he thought Burkhead was going to?
Well, maybe
was that a bad throw?
Yes.
No, it was
yes.
not a bad throw.
Yes.
Was it off target or inaccurate? It was not.
Skip.
It was not.
You saw that
That's
guy
classic.
Inside.
Who do you think made the right choice on that play?
I'm going to go
the running
Burkhead.
Back or
I'm
going
to go with Burkhead.
Are you?
I'm
going to
go with Burkhead.
Or the quarterback who's simply the greatest player in the history of pro football. You're going Burkhead. I think you're totally wrong. Now let's go
look
to interception.
Look at him with arm folded on it like a – he look at a pouting, Jim. You see that?
Uh-huh.
Standing with his arm. I'm bad.
I see
Can
it.
We please go to interception number two to the Frankenstein monster? Catch it! He
He just hit you right in the hands, Gronk, and it went right through your hands.
Catch the football. Unfold your arms,
look at this.
Tom.
Look at Gronk. Oh, that's the first one. Ah, here we go. Gronkowski. Catch it! Did he not hit him right in the hands?
He did.
How can that be an interception?
I want Tom Brady to unfold his arms.
That's what's
I'd
left.
I'd be mad, too.
That's the shell of himself who is Rob Gronkowski.
Hold on. Time out.
What are you doing?
Hold on. I noticed you didn't say a word last week when Aaron Rodgers hit Jimmy Graham right in his hand. Mm. The ball caroms off his hands, and it gets picked by Eddie Jackson of the Chicago Bears. You didn't say a word.
I don't talk about irrelevant out-of-the-playoff teams. Am I right? I don't talk about them. And by the way, in overtime, somehow Aaron said, I was the leader of this team yesterday. I'm going to bring him. I'm going to show him.
What are you talking about him? Don't talk about the goal.
I'm going to bring this team back against the Jets. Yeah, I'm going to bring him back for no reason at all.
He said 20 years from now, I don't want them to think I quit on my team.
Yeah, and in overtime, he threw it to whom? He threw it to his Pro Bowl receiver, Devontae. Let me ask a question. Does Tom Brady have a Devontae? I don't think he has a Devontae.
Hold on, Skip.
He has nobody. He's got a Julian.
Down 18 points on the road.
He's got a former quarterback at Kent State, right? A quarterback taken in the seventh round. That's his wideout.
When the last time?
Was Devontae Adams taken high in the draft? Yes, he was.
Aaron Rodgers said, man, I sure wish I had my running game to get me 273 in the round.
Interesting. Yeah. So, what do I always tell you, Mr. Sharp? There's one man, there are several, but there's one man for sure I never bet against. And that guy is 41 years of age and plays quarterback
and
for
LeBron
the New England
James.
Patriots. Yeah, LeBron James.
Yeah,
I would have bet against him last night because, that's 91 all, and you can't bring it home against Memphis. Memphis has lost four in a row.
We're talking about Tom Brady.
You brought it up, and I finished it off. So, here's the point. There's something about this team where defensively they played pretty well against a rookie quarterback who has no idea what he's doing. He cannot throw the football. He can run it a little bit, but he can't throw it. Mm-hmm. But still, if you give them a week to get completely healthy, and by the way, his other receiver, quote-unquote, that he lost was the kick returner, Cordarrelle. He hurt his knee. He said after the game he's going to be okay. But let them get healthy. They got to beat the Jets. And again, that's no walk in the park, no cinch. But if they beat the Jets and they get a week off for a home playoff game, I'm not off the bandwagon. I still believe in number 41. Did he play great yesterday? He did not.
Did he get any help? No, don't do that.
No help.
No help. See, Skip, this is what I won't allow you to do. And see, this is what I won't allow a lot of the Brady zealots to do. Mm. Because the same guys that he's throwing to when he outgunned Mahomes and he outgunned Rodgers, those were the guys that were on the field against Buffalo. Mm. So you can't say they're over.
But not Josh Gordon. Who broke the Aaron Rodgers game open? Josh Gordon, right?
Really, Skip?
Well, what do you mean really? Yes, really.
So how many Super Bowls has Tom Brady gone to and won without Josh Gordon?
Well, obviously, they didn't have anybody. Where's Brandon Cooks now? Where is he?
He won a Super Bowl.
Where's Danny Amendola?
Hold on, Skip.
Gone.
He won a Super Bowl. You said he played the greatest fourth quarter in overtime in Super Bowl history. Without Gronk.
Yeah.
He threw for 500 yards without Edelman.
Yeah.
Now, he has these guys, and now they're trash.
Yeah.
No, don't do that, Skip. Don't do that. Don't poo-poo on them now.
All I know is I'm not giving up on Tom Brady because I don't bet against him, but I am betting against Bill Belichick and why he yanked Tom Brady with 6:39 left in the game. I don't know.
Did you see the way he was playing?
I thought it was classic Belichick
versus Brady. Did you see the way he was playing?
I don't care. It was 24-6.
Did you? Okay, we'll get him up out of there.
That's like Dak
Stank
Prescott.
Stank it up.
Yeah.
Stank it up. Yeah.
Well, there was a 4th-and-4 play to Edelman that he threw right on the money for a touchdown. Remember that, where he just vaulted over the two DBs for a touchdown? That's 4th-and-4. Was that not on the money?
Whoa!
See, he makes all the plays you have to make.
That's an Edelman. That's an Edelman. That's not what he used to be. Hold on. Now you praising him.
Was it not a great throw?
Skip, it was a routine throw.
Clutch. Yeah. Oh,
so now you like Edelman. Mm. Because he made that play. Because just before you said he washed up. Mm. He was a college quarterback.
Well, he was. That's all you got. But you know what? Give him a week off to figure out Philip Dorsett, Chris Hogan. I don't know. Maybe they'll go sign somebody.
If he hadn't figured him out yet, he ain't going to figure him out.
Boy,
he's been with Hogan for 3 years. Yeah. He's had Dorsett, OTAs, all the – had him last year.
Mm.
So he knows what he's got.
Well, somehow Tom Brady played quarterback in their position to have the 2 seed in the AFC. I'd say that's pretty great.
Everybody, hey, everybody laid an egg. San Diego laid an egg. Thanks to Baltimore. Baltimore had something to do with them laying that egg.
Yep.
The Texans laid an egg.
Huh. You better be careful.
Hey, I tell you what.
You're going to have to eat some more crow.
I tell you what. You know, and you would not like this matchup. You do not want to see Baltimore going to New England.
I agree.
You do not want to see that.
They do have a rookie quarterback, and that's the only advantage that New England would have.
And they will make
And I love the
like
rookie,
rookie
quarterback.
Interesting
but he
about
is
the
rookie
QB. Yep. Tom has never lost to a rookie at home.
Yes, he did. Joe Flacco.
He wasn't a rookie, though, was he?
Oh, he wasn't?
As a rookie?
I don't think he was a rookie.
That might have been
But at home.
We're going to have to
10-0.
We don't get it.
You don't trust my numbers, Joe Cool. I'll see if I can
Joe Cool's coming back for the playoffs?
Nope.
Oh.
Joe Cool. It's hard for me to believe Joe Cool to take another slap in the Ravens unless Lamar Jackson gets hurt.
Done.
Okay, we're going to move away from the NFL right now to LeBron James. He made some controversial comments this weekend, and we will discuss all that next. No mercy. LeBron James found himself in some controversy this weekend. Last night, he apologized for a video he posted to Instagram with the lyrics to a 21 Savage song that said, quote, "We've been getting that Jewish money. Everything is kosher." LeBron said, "I apologize if I offended anyone. It was definitely not the intent to hurt anybody." This came after LeBron called out NFL owners on Friday on his HBO show. In the latest episode of The Shop, LeBron said, quote, "In the NFL, they got a bunch of old white men owning teams, and they got that slave mentality. And it's like, this is my team. You do what the bleep I tell y'all to do, or we get rid of y'all." So, Shannon, what is your reaction to all of this?
Well, let me take the lyric, the verse from the rap lyric, 21 Savage. LeBron immediately, I guess it came to his attention that that was viewed as derogatory or negative or it offended some. And he immediately said, "I apologize." Now, I, you know, ticky-tack and says, "If." Clearly, you're apologizing, so it wasn't if, you did. And I like the fact, Skip, because a lot of times, you know, sometimes we say things or we do things and we dig in. Oh, we've gotten so politically correct. You just want to get your point out and stand on your point. And I tell people this all the time. If you are the offending party, you don't get to tell me what's offensive. And you don't get to tell me how I should feel. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you this hurt me. Sorry, apologize, and keep it moving. That's it. Mm-hmm. But don't stand into, I don't know why you offense. I don't know why you offended. Mm-hmm. I don't know why this is that. No, that's not for you to decide. So I'm glad LeBron was like, look, showed a lot of maturity here. LeBron posts, I follow LeBron on all his social media platforms, and he does. He posts a lot of rap licks. He posts a lot of songs, and some have explicit lyrics. Okay, fine. If you want to go dig up that and find and say LeBron shouldn't be posting that, it's not like you have to go looking for it. I like the fact, Skip, that he apologized. I believe him. When he says he thought it was a compliment, I believe him. But that's neither here nor there. Ignorance is no excuse. Mm-hmm. It's not, you should have known. It's kind of like parking. Well, I didn't know it was a fire hydrant there. Ignorance of the law is not an excuse. Just because you didn't know it was offensive, hey, he said something or he posted something, Skip. It was deemed offensive. He apologized for it. Move on. Okay, you can forgive him or you cannot. About this comment, Skip, here's the thing. Anytime you talk about slavery or the Holocaust and it's not in a historical perspective and you compare it, you always going to get blowback. You already know it's going to get blowback, Skip. Anytime you compare those two acts and you compare it to something else, you're going to get blowback.
Mm-hmm.
I understand what he's saying. He's not saying, because clearly, Skip, the NFL is not slavery because the guys get paid. Slaves did not make a wage. No matter how good Master Tom had it for you, he gave you a lodging or he fed you, you still was not free to move about as you saw fit.
Nope.
You did not earn money. Mm-mm. So I get what he's saying. He's saying the mentality is this. This is the way we do things. You either toe the line. Jerry Jones said it. This is my stage.
You
either go toe the line or you're going to get on from here. Skip, I told a story about how my grandmother told me the story when she was a young girl. My great-grandmother, Grandma Lou, my grandma's sister, Annie Mae, they lived on someone's property, and for living on their property, they washed the clothes, they did the house cleaning, they did the cooking. My grandmother worked 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. Sunday was the day off, so they thought. they went to church. Mm-hmm. My grandma and them get back, and they know how in the black community we go to church. You go to church a long time. You get there at 9, you not come home at 3:30, 4 o'clock. My grandma and them come home. They walk home. The lady bring 3-4 loads of clothes. Lou, I'm going to need you to wash these clothes and have them back to me at the end of the day. Grandma Lou, my great-grandmother, says, you know, me and the girls tired. We just got back from church, but we'll be there bright and early, and we'll have them to you. The lady tells my great-grandmother, Lou, if you don't have these clothes back to me by the end of the day, you and the girls are going to have to move on. You see the mentality, Skip? Do what I say, mm-hmm. when I say, or you got to get on. Mm-hmm. That's the mentality. That's what LeBron has said. He's not saying it's slavery. He's saying it's the way they think mm-hmm. is that they can control you. And see, in the NBA, maybe they're more progressive. And maybe it has a lot to do with Adam Silver, because it's hard for me to believe, Skip, that there is an owner that could have said something or done something that Donald Sterling did, mm-hmm. and the NFL would have taken the steps that the NBA did to remove him. Mm. It's hard for me to believe that. Now, maybe that's all Adam Silver versus Roger Goodell. Maybe that has a lot to do with it. But it seems to me that the NBA players, Skip, have a better working relationship with the owners and the commissioner mm-hmm. than they have in the NFL. They don't, every chance they get, take shots at the commissioner, mm-hmm. take shots at their owners. Yeah. They don't normally do that. So I get what LeBron was saying. Mm-hmm. But again, when you mention slavery and you mention the Holocaust, Skip, and you don't put it in a historical context, but you compare it, mm-hmm. there's where you always, and I hate using the term always and every, mm-hmm. but you're always going to get blowback mm-hmm. if you use it, slavery, mm-hmm. in a comparison aspect.
So there's a lot going on here.
Yes.
So let's start with issue number one, which you finished with. And I always defer to you on this. Mm-hmm. I can't begin to feel what you feel about slavery, but I know what I feel about slavery, mm-hmm. and I feel deep-rooted shame that my distant forefathers treated black people that way. It was evil, and it was so wrong. And even when many of the slaves were freed, they were treated in very evil ways. There were hangings. There were
right.
there was torture. It's just, it's almost unspeakable what happened through that period.
Correct.
Have we come a long way? Yeah, we have. Do we have a long way? Yes, we do.
Correct.
So, this is just me speaking as a white guy. Every time I hear that reference from a black or a white guy, I just cringe at it, because obviously you can't compare what those slaves went through to what NFL players are going through. But I like the essence of LeBron's point. There's validity to his overreaching, overarching point about NFL owners.
Correct.
I like what Dr. Harry Edwards calls it, which is more of a plantation mentality.
Right.
We don't pin it just on the way
right.
the slaves are treated.
Right.
It's just that white owner, that white billionaire mentality, and they're right about that.
Right.
It operates far more. It's more suffocating in the NFL than it is in the more enlightened NBA.
Correct.
Now, that brings me to the second issue. My first question is, what is LeBron doing right now? I've always called him the best role model in sports, and I think he doesn't want to be that anymore. Help me out here,
yeah.
because when you continue to post these rap lyrics, and again, you're trying to reach the kids. Mm-hmm. You want the kids to connect with you. And I think LeBron, as he ages in year 16, he wants to show he still has a lot of kid in him, and he does have lot of kid. And he's very close with his kids, and by all the things that he posts, he's a great father. We get that.
Yeah.
But he constantly drops F-bombs everywhere, and I just don't love it when it's hard for me to continue to call him a role model when you're going to quote those explicit lyrics, and on your show, The Shop, you're just going to drop F-bomb after F-bomb. It's the way he talks, I'm sure, off camera, and so he's being real.
Right.
But it's so real that it disqualifies you as a role model, and I'm not sure what the message is of it. I don't know what his new MO is here. What's he trying to achieve? Does it make him more popular that way? I think he has a lot of frustrated rapper in him, don't you think? No, seriously.
Well, I mean, a lot of, rappers rap about what they see, what they've experienced.
Yeah.
A lot of them rap about the community which they came
they
up
do.
In and the life that they had growing up. Now, and when they become successful, they rap about the women and the champagne and the watches and the
they
cars.
Do.
Okay, fine. And LeBron, LeBron's like, hold on. I kind of grew up like that.
He kind of did.
I didn't have anything.
Yep.
I come from a single parent.
I'm with you.
I came from the struggle. So it resonates with him.
Okay, but he hasn't risen above it. He seems to want to go back to his roots and play in that area more, which is fine. I'm not condemning. I'm just saying, who are you? Help me out here. Do you want to be the role model in the face of the NBA, or do you want to be that guy? I'm not sure. And that guy's very real. He's being more real than he's ever been.
Well, that's the thing is, Skip, if you go back to the shop, when you get to the barbershop, that's when you have real, authentic conversations.
I would say.
So he's having real, you know.
Because we have that right here, but we stop short of the F-bombs, right?
We do. Yeah. We do. And I think the thing for him, if LeBron were to go to the barbershop and he's like, and it was generic, they're like, that's not real.
Because I'm with you. I got it.
But the comments in which you made, do you understand what he's saying about the mentality?
The
plantation about the...
I got that, but I'm going on to the Jewish money.
Okay, lyrics. Jewish money, okay.
So the irony here is that a LeBron James who has been so beautifully outspoken on social justice issues...
Correct.
He's taken such courageous and eloquent stands... Mm-hmm. That he stepped in this, that he's guilty of what he abhors about others who are racist, right? What do you always tell me about racists? They can be naive, they can be blind. They eventually, if you watch closely and listen closely enough, they will reveal their racism. Am I right?
Correct.
You have a line about that. I can't remember.
Absolutely. Okay? Yes.
Well, I could say the same thing about LeBron on being an anti-Semite. Did he expose himself, or was it just naive? Does he not understand just how deeply he could offend some in the Jewish community with this?
I don't think he did, because I think, like he said, he thought it was playing him a compliment because they were well off, and now I'm well off. And I get it, Skip. Look, I can't excuse what he said because he didn't know. Because you can't
That's
say...
That's what I mean,
because
but sometimes... Right. We talk about naive racists. They just didn't understand, black people don't like it if you say that.
Right.
Really? I didn't know that.
Right.
You say, you're a racist at heart because you didn't get it.
Right.
You didn't want to get it.
Well, I think the thing for him is what leads me to, he apologized without explanation.
Yeah.
He didn't try to explain why he said it.
No.
He's like, I'm sorry.
I don't like the if I offended anybody, but whatever. At least he tried. He tried. I'm with
Skip,
you.
That's the only thing.
Yeah.
If he'd have just removed... I offended people. Some people
just said, I'm sorry I said that.
Boom.
Okay, and let me quote something ESPN had this morning in its story from a Yale professor. This was back in August, and the professor said, historically, Jewish materialism was used by anti-Semites seeking to demean the value of Judaism. And I know that's deep, but that operates in the Jewish community. And my friend Darren Revelle, who used to be at ESPN, was sort of at the forefront of the charge against this on social media. And one of his tweets in response to one of his followers was, go find a Jew and read this, these quotes to him, these lyrics. Anyone, Adam Silver, Dan Gilbert, David Stern, then tell me how they reacted and come back to me, because Darren was very offended by this.
Right.
So to your point, if one person's offended, you're wrong. You're wrong.
That's good enough for me.
Okay, got it. And I know that a number of rappers will use references to Jewish money, so it's not just 21 Savage, but LeBron's a little naive. He's still being a little childlike to think that wouldn't offend somebody if you just repeat it.
Yeah, I think the thing is, in the Jewish community, like, we're more than just wealthy. We're just more than money.
Yeah.
And LeBron is looking at like, well, I thought it was a compliment because, you know, this and this and this, but no. Darren Revelle, clearly by his tweet, he's offended.
He's offended.
And if, like I said, Skip, if one person is offended by something I said, now don't be mad because I said your team isn't very good or a player isn't very good. Mm-hmm. I don't care if I offend you in that aspect.
Yep.
But if I said something that you deem is derogatory about your race, your religion, your ethnicity, or your orientation, okay, bring it to my attention. I'm going to apologize. No question.
Yep.
This ain't about being PC.
No.
This is not about being right. This is not about standing my ground or I got First Amendment rights to stand on. Mm-hmm. It's not about that. You deem what I said inappropriate, I apologize. Not if I apologize. Wasn't my intent. Boom, I'm moving on.
Okay. So LeBron had some weekend because on Friday he was accused by some anonymous GMs of tampering with Anthony Davis.
Right.
And then he takes a very controversial shot, but a legitimate shot, I feel like, at NFL owners.
Right.
And then he quotes Jewish money lyrics from 21 Savage, and that explodes. So that's quite a 3 days, man.
And
he is the drama king,
Skip,
right?
Look how the NBA, what was deemed as hood or ghetto or thuggish, with the hoodies.
Yeah.
The NBA has a uniform. The official uniform that they warm up in has what, Skip? A hoodie.
Okay. I'm with you.
It's just LeBron has 45.8 million Instagram followers. So you have to remember, that's the most of any American athlete.
Bro, let your boy get like 5 million of those. So
everything
can't catch
he
me.
Says, wow. does, critiques, wears. Yeah, yeah. We are not going to miss it. Mm. It's a good reminder of that. You want to steal some of those followers?
Yep.
Is that the plan?
LeBron, let your boy get like 5 million of them.
Okay.
He might donate
watching.
To you.
Yeah.
We're going to go back to the NFL. Is Patrick Mahomes still the MVP
My
favorite?
Boy.
Yep, here
well,
we go.
Apparently still on Shannon's side.
Yep.
We'll discuss that.
No mercy.
The Seahawks beat the Chiefs last night to clinch a wild card berth. Patrick Mahomes threw 3 touchdown passes, but he lost his 4th straight game in primetime. Mahomes entered the weekend as the MVP favorite, and Kansas City still controls their own destiny for the top seed in the AFC. Shannon.
Yes.
Is Homeboy still your MVP?
Absolutely. Mm.
It's just, absolutely?
Absolutely, Skip Bayless.
I got to get a new TV.
Yeah, you don't need to get a new TV, yeah. Hopefully that way you don't have to watch Kansas City's defense play. Yeah. Skip, he's 16 more touchdowns, 800 more yards. I mean, he's 48-11.
Mm-hmm.
KC's defense is terrible, Skip. They're 31st in pass defense. They're 29th in scoring defense, 28th in rushing defense. And New Orleans has a top 10 scoring defense.
Mm-hmm.
Let this sink in. Patrick Mahomes in his 4 losses is averaging 37.5 points, 336 yards. He's thrown 15 touchdowns with 5 interceptions.
Mm.
The defense is giving up 40 points in those 4 losses. Let that sink in for a second, Skip Bayless. Mm. Think about that. You're scoring 37.5 points, 336. You're throwing about 4 touchdowns a game.
Mm.
But your defense is giving up 40 points a game. That's terrible, Skip. Mm. Looking at the Saints, Skip, what are the Saints? Are they a passing team? They're 11th in passing. They're 11th in rushing.
Mm.
The tandem of Kamara and Mark Ingram leads the might be the best tandem of running backs in football.
Mm.
So it's just hard for me to believe that a guy that's thrown for 48-11 Drew Brees is what, 30, he's 16, so 32-5. Skip, I get it.
Huh.
It'll be a great night. I mean, Drew Brees has never won the MVP. If he doesn't win it this year, that's not how the MVP is supposed to work.
Mm.
This is not a lifetime achievement award.
Mm.
This is not a career accomplishment. This season, statistically, I feel very comfortable in saying he's going to get 50. He's going to get 2 touchdowns against the Raiders. Mm. He'll throw for 170-plus yards and be 50. So 50 touchdowns, 5,000 passing yards.
Mm.
The only other 2 guys have done that, Peyton Manning, MVP, Tom Brady, MVP. It's just, no, Tom did not throw for the year that he got 50 touchdowns. He didn't throw for 5,000 yards. But to throw for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns in a single season, Skip, that means something. Mm. And I think he's had the better year. He can't do anything about his defense. Mm. I mean, last night, Skip, look at that. They go right down the field. He goes down the field against Kansas City, ties the ball game. What did they do? Mm. 7 plays, 6 yards. Poop, Tom Brady in the end zone, win the game.
Mm.
That's unacceptable. Pat Mahomes, boy, should win the MVP, and it shouldn't be close.
Mm. So you asked me to let that sink in, so I'm letting it sink and sink, and I think Patrick Mahomes is sunk in the MVP race. That's what I think. Drew Brees just won the MVP with a big stage performance in what became the game of their year this year at home. And he did so with a closing touchdown drive to win the game over Ben Roethlisberger playing one of the greatest games of his career. It was a classic shootout, and Drew Brees won the shootout.
Mm-hmm.
And he has edged slightly ahead of Patrick Mahomes in QBR. They're both at 81.9, but just by decimal points, Drew Brees is slightly ahead. And by the way, he's 32 touchdowns to only 5 interceptions versus 11 for Patrick Mahomes, and those 5 are tied for 2nd fewest in the league.
What are we going to do about those extra 16 touchdowns?
Mm.
Are we going to do anything about those?
What are we going to do about 13-2 and home field advantage throughout the NFC playoffs? What are we going to do about odds-on favorite to win it all, Drew Brees' team?
What?
Kind of came from nowhere. Okay. Nobody probably saw that coming, except we did pick them to win the NFC.
But here's the thing. Let me ask you a question. Do you think the Raiders are going to beat Kansas City in Kansas City on Sunday? Do you believe that?
No.
So they'll have home field advantage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but not with that kind of record. By the way, the Kansas City Chiefs have now lost three of their last five, and they were in danger of losing at Oakland, and they barely pulled that out 40-33, and they were really in danger of losing to Lamar Jackson down 24-17 when Patrick Mahomes ran to the sidelines, closed his eyes, and flung it across his chest back into the middle of the field.
So that was a signature moment, huh?
It was an Eli Manning Super Bowl moment to David Tyree, and it would have been fitting if it had stuck in Tyreek's face mask. Remember, Tyree and Tyreek. Right?
Stop it,
Skip. To Tyree's, right?
Stop it.
There you go. So let's look at what Patrick Mahomes has now done in his big stage, solo stage night games.
Tell me about it.
Sunday night at New England. Who won that game? Not Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, whoa. Can you tell the people at home what his defense gave up? How many points did he give up?
I don't know.
You know.
I only know he lost.
Okay, they gave up 43 points. Go ahead.
Okay. Then Monday night at the Los Angeles Rams, Patrick Mahomes was horrendous in that game with five turnovers?
478, six tubs.
Yeah. He gave up a strip sack, scoop, and score,
so
right?
54.
Wow.
54 points. Okay, go ahead.
Now, that was a Monday night. Now we go to Thursday night at home against the L.A. Chargers. You can't spit the bit in that game, can you? Yes, he did. He lost that one to Phillip Rivers. No good.
And what did defense give up?
Well, I don't know. I'm just talking about Patrick Mahomes.
A game-ending touchdown and a two-point conversion.
Yeah, Tom Brady doesn't lose those games.
Whoa. Hold on, Skip. Hold on. Mm. Time out. Yeah. Now, you told me Coach Belichick lost his fastball because Coach Belichick gave up 43 to Philly in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. He threw for 505, and you told me that Tom Brady, that Coach Belichick should be ashamed of himself.
Should have been fired.
Hold on.
Did you see what Malcolm Butler did Saturday night? Did you see what he did Saturday night to end the Washington game?
The game was already over.
Did you see? He pick-sixed it.
Yeah, think about this.
Malcolm Butler lives.
Yeah.
He's playing for Tennessee.
Pat Mahomes' defensive game up 43 and 54. Mm. And you expect him to win, but not Tom Brady.
I got to ask you, Shane. Okay, this is a problem. So he plays on Sunday night, L. Monday night, L. Thursday night, L. Sunday night again, L. Those are bad looks for the quote-unquote MVP case that Shannon Sharp is trying to make. I can't roll with it.
Let me ask you a question, Skip. Yeah. This is what I'm going to do for you, Skip. Hmm. I'm going to say every fourth game, I'm going to let you're going to have, at the end of those four games, you'll have 15 touchdowns with five picks, average 336. Mm-hmm. How many times, if you end with a 12-4 record, how many times do you think you'd win the MVP?
I don't know, but Drew Brees obviously made more plays than Patrick Mahomes.
So if somebody threw for 60 touchdowns with 20 interceptions, and they finished with 12-4, do you believe they would win the MVP? Because that's what Pat Mahomes.
Mm.
Think about that, Skip Bayless.
You know, here we go again. This is the Aaron Rodgers syndrome because you like beauty pageants. If we're going, who's going to win the beauty pageant? I'll give you Mahomes. He's got the highlight plays. He's got the trending plays. He's got the no looks.
Skip, you make it seem like he's going to miss the playoffs.
He threw one yesterday. I'm running left, and I'm going to lean sideways and throw. I'm going to flip it sidearm.
If you don't mind me asking.
Okay,
if you don't mind
way
me
to
ask,
go.
If you don't mind me asking.
Drew Brees doesn't do that. He just completes them on time.
How many games did Tom Brady lose last year and won the MVP?
I don't know. I don't really care. He's not in this discussion right
now. And why is he not in this discussion?
Well,
thank you very much. I just wanted you to
open it up. He is the two-seed. Maybe he should be.
I just wanted to hear you say that. Mm. That's all I wanted to hear you do, Skip. No, nothing. No further questions, Jonna. Yeah. But you know my homeboy, Skip. Come on, Skip. The man is 40.
You know what's going to happen. It's just like, here we go again with the Heisman Trophy.
Lifetime achievement award. You
want to end it. You want to end it early, premature. And all of a sudden, Kyler Murray keeps doing that and that and that. And Drew Brees did that yesterday. That ended it because narrative does operate. The narrative is that on January 15th, not very far from now, not very long from now, Drew Brees is going to turn 40 years of age.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it is somewhat of a career achievement because he's never won one of these. And he's obviously a first ballot Hall of Fame. But this one he should win.
Okay.
You make it seem
like he was slighted. You make it seem like it was Denzel in Training Day or Denzel in Hurricane when Son of a Woman won or American Beauty. It wasn't one of those situations, Skip Bayless.
God, I love Training Day.
So good.
I'd watch it tonight.
He won for that.
I know.
But he didn't win for Hurricane. No, he didn't win for Malcolm X. He should have won for Malcolm X, too.
I agree.
But that's not here today. Drew Brees is
phenomenal. Drew Brees is going to win this.
No, he's not. My homeboy.
No. I'm sorry. You hung on too long. It's okay.
Skip,
it's okay.
Think about this, Skip. He's 16 clear. Mm-hmm. 800 yards.
He's got a long career. He'll win his
interview. Oh, you see what I'm saying?
He does have a long career.
Skip, that's not how it's supposed to work.
Okay.
You know that.
He does lead the league in highlight plays, though. I give you that.
I mean, dropping on my arm angles like that. What are you supposed to do with his defense, Skip? His defense, you see that? Did you see what his defense doing?
Boy, his defense can rush the passer, though, can't they?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really, Skip Bayless?
Well, they got after.
How you rush the passer so good and give up 40 points in those losses?
I don't know.
I know. Did you see that back end?
Yeah.
That secondary is terrible.
Drew Brees' defense gave up 429 yards at home yesterday. You like that? I don't like that.
How many yards you said Drew Brees' defense gave up?
429.
Hold on.
See, I got you on that.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
I got you on that.
Oh, no, you don't got
that. Okay.
Hold up. 429.
Yeah, 429.
Oh, what you call Pat Mahomes' defense gave up 464. What am I supposed to do with that? How many points did they give up?
I forget what the score was.
Their defense gave up 38.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Brees' defense gave up how many, Skip?
I forget 28.
Now, which is more? Now, Jen, I wasn't good at math. Because once I couldn't use scratch paper or count on my fingers, the numbers did me no good. So is 38 more than 28?
It is.
Now, you told me that Skip Bayless, now he banged on his desk and said he called for Coach Belichick's job after he won 5 Super Bowls because he gave up 43 points.
Yep.
Well, Patrick Mahomes' defense is averaging giving up 40 in the losses.
So, Pro Football Focus gives Drew Brees the highest passer grade in the league this year and gives Drew Brees the highest offensive overall grade this year. I don't know. What am I supposed to do with that?
How?
It's better, more efficient.
Did we see that 13 points he put up? Did we see the 10 points he put up against Dallas? Or what about the 12 that he put up against Carolina?
Every time the voters got to see this kid on the biggest stage, the solo stage at night, they're saying,
the prime time.
They're saying his defense is terrible.
Not ready for prime time?
His defense is terrible.
It's a good point.
Pat Mahomes has yet to score less than 26 points. Think about that, Skip Bayless. The man has yet to score less than 26. No
mercy. Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.